Hello, hello. All right. Good morning, you guys. Thanks so much for coming. We're talking about how to spend, save, and earn with the future in mind. Daunting, huge. When you think about it, you're just like, I don't want to think about it, so I'm just going to go to Target. So, but that's why we're here, right? We want to start thinking about it so that it's a blessing and not a burden. So, today is going to be really practical. The Bible has a lot to say about money. I'm just today, as a breakout, it's just like more practical stuff. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you that you have given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Lord, we do not live in poverty. We don't live as beggars barely getting by. But in your kingdom, in your goodness, when we trust you in this area of our life, when we give you our tithe, when we trust you with our finances, Lord, and we're willing to do the work, you give us what we need. Sometimes we want months of supply, like worth of bread, but you say that we can ask you for daily bread. So starting today, we're not going to get too anxious as we look ahead. We're saying, show us what to do with what we have right now. We love you and we trust you. Bring creative ideas, bring insight, help make connections for each of these women as we're talking about finances. We love you, we trust you, amen. Okay, so I have some notes here, and then I'm going to be referencing a few other resources that are here. They might not be for everybody, so they're not in the handout, but if you find that you need more, that stuff's going to be right here. So, we're talking about finances, and you guys know you got a budget, you shouldn't go get coffee every day, you shouldn't like buy things with credit cards, try to save for big purchases. We know all of this stuff, right? These are all the little tips and tricks, the things that people tell us about how to manage our finances. And you all already know that. So I'm not going to belabor that. If knowing that was enough, we wouldn't need to be here. Dealing with our money, thinking about all this stuff wouldn't be so hard. But obviously just knowing like some of the practical steps and things that we should be doing is not enough for us because there's a lot of emotion wrapped in how we feel about our money. We get overwhelmed when a big expense comes up. We feel a little anxious when we look at our spending and we did not stick to our budget. It's like we feel fear and guilt and anxiety and stress, and those are all feelings that we want to avoid. So we just don't think about it. We know what to do, like on paper, but that's not really enough for all of us. So today we're going to take a little bit, we're going to look at each of these areas, how to save, spend, and earn, and we're going to talk a little bit about how we think about each of those areas. And hopefully that will bring some encouragement and inspire you to start approaching these three areas of our money in a different way. So first, we want to change the way that we think about our money. Just a few general thoughts before we start talking about these three subjects. You know, you might know people who have more money than you. They actually might not. There are people who appear to have more money than you. They have some nice stuff. They got a nice car. They got a big house. On the other hand, there are people who probably have much more money than those people who have a modest car, a modest home, and they're living in a lot of freedom. So what we want to remember when we're talking about money is, first of all, everything is not as it seems. So don't get wrapped up in what you see around you, and don't be discouraged by some of what you see. It's easy to get kind of envious. I have friends that are doing really well. And I'm home with my kids. I don't work a traditional job. And so that has come with some sacrifice. Some years more than others have felt pretty lean for us. And I look around and I'm like, that trip looks fun. That house looks nice. I'm just going to preface with this. We are taking steps with the future in mind. So I've got three kids in one bedroom. Like, we own a house, we're making sacrifices right now that really aren't sacrifices until you start looking around at what everyone else is doing. My kids are fine in one room. They don't really care. I care when we all need to go to the bathroom in our one bathroom and everyone's potty trained. I have put my kids in a diaper. Like, I know you gotta go when your brother's in there for, they need time. They gotta relax. So I have put my kids in a diaper to go to the bathroom. I mean, this is like a problem. It's an inconvenience, but the payoff is a lot better than the burden and the stress of a lot more debt to buy a house where everyone can have their own room and their own bathroom in San Diego. I mean, that's just, we could do that. A lot of us could do a lot of what we see other people doing, but what you don't see is how much stress that creates for your friends. People who want, I am free to be with my kids because we're not doing some other stuff. So as we're talking about money and you're thinking about what you see around you, just don't worry about what anyone else has or what anyone else is doing. We're not concerned with them. We're thinking about your future and what it takes to get you where you want to be, whatever that looks like. So first I'll just say that. And the other thing is, if you see someone where you want to be, that means the good news is it's possible. This isn't impossible. It's not out of reach. What you see doesn't need to produce envy. It can produce encouragement. Like, wow, this isn't out of my reach. Someone that I know that I could talk to and ask questions is in a place maybe 10 years down the road where I'm trying to get. I can ask them questions. Don't let what you see around you discourage you or make you envious. Get excited about what's possible for the future. And I know this is going to sound far-fetched. It's actually not. In every area of life, any big goal, any big thing that you're trying to do, every massive thing can be broken down into action steps that take about 5 to 10 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes. You print the form, you leave it on your printer. The next day, you fill out the form. The day after that, you figure out where to send it for whatever it is that you're trying to do. You can start a business in an afternoon. It's like things that feel really big and daunting actually aren't. What we need to do, as you're listening to us, we're talking about the future, and that can feel kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm already behind. I'm X years old and I want to retire in 15 years. How am I supposed to do that? Ah, we're not stressing about 15 years from now. We're thinking creatively about what we can start doing this week. What podcasts you can listen to, what website you can look up, where you can start to just even think about what you want. That's the fun part. Don't think about how to get there yet. Even you maybe don't even know what you want because you're too scared to look ahead. It just looks too hard. So everything can be broken down into steps that take about 5 to 10 minutes. So please do not shut down as we're talking about this stuff because it feels too overwhelming. It doesn't have to. It can actually be, everything is figure outable. Everything on earth. If people do it, that means you can do it. This isn't too hard for you. You're not bad with money. You're not too dumb. You're not uneducated. Everything here that we're talking about can be figured out. So I don't care what your history with money is, unimportant. We're growing and we're moving forward, right? So as we're talking about money, that's where we're coming from. Let me see if I had any other things. Oh, and another thing is, all of these are, if we're talking kind of big picture, this is not gonna like just happen overnight. And so just understand that. You know, you have to kind of give yourself time. Money over time can grow a lot more than all these like get rich quick and all, I'm going to do this and I know a guy and there's Dogecoin and Bitcoin, I'm going to, which you can invest a little bit in if you are kind of open to just seeing what happens. I guess you could do that. But like, we're not looking at get rich quick stuff. A lot of this stuff is very boring, really basic, and just growing wealth and growing your money slowly. So I just want to start from there. So we're going to basically be talking about these three areas, but I want you to keep this in mind because I'm going to say it a couple times. You always have two levers that you can pull when it comes to your money. You can either earn more to help you increase your savings, or you can spend less. Those are two levers that we can pull, two things that you have control of to help you grow your money and start saving to figure out what to do with it for the future. So first, we're going to talk about savings. What do you even save your money for? We save it for a couple of different things. There's more immediate, short-term savings. That would be things that are like 1 to 5 years. And then there's long-term savings, like I don't want to work forever, right? I'm going to be on a fixed income. I need to make sure I have enough. I've got to get my home paid off before I retire. Or whatever those things are that we need to start thinking about to get you to a place at whatever age to stop working. That's pretty much the goal, right? It boils down to that when we're talking about long-term is whether it's you, yeah, we all want to stop working. As parents, we don't necessarily stop working, but we don't have to worry, we don't want to have to worry about earning money. So when we're talking about short-term goals, it's things like a car replacement, down payment for a home, big trips and traveling, whatever it is that you want, there's not a wrong answer for what you want to save your money for. This is your future. These are your goals. So it helps to come from a place where you're thinking ahead and you're planning instead of reacting. If you drive a car that's 15 years old and it's fine now, but you anticipate that in the next few years you're going to start to need to make a lot of repairs, it's not a crisis where then you go to the dealership and you buy a new car in 2 years with a nice big $500 car payment. That's the average car payment in America is like $490 right now. Crazy. So we can react or we can start to plan ahead. And you're thinking, yeah, my problem is how do I start saving money? That's why I'm here. We'll get to that in just a little bit. So short term is like, it might be something like a trip. Like, you want to go on a vacation. That's not wrong. And you don't need to feel bad about saving for that. As long as we're covering all of our bases and everything's taken care of, we can think about the things that you want, not just the boring long-term goals and stuff like that. But we need to make sure that there's enough money for all of it. So when we're thinking about what we're saving, we have to consider both short-term and long-term. Long-term is things like looking at retirement investing, general investments, like I mentioned, paying off your home, which I know sounds impossible if you've purchased a home in the last 10 years in San Diego, but it's possible. It is something that can be done. And then moving you closer to what I would call financial independence, but it's really just another word for retirement, to get to a place where you are financially independent and you don't need to work actively to cover all of your monthly or annual expenses. So here's where we get really tripped up. You know, I'm talking about short-term saving, and I'm talking about things like cars and trips and maybe even like a down payment for a home. That's something that might take you 5 years to save. There's nothing wrong with that. If you start now, it's not a problem. If it just feels like too much to save and you can't do it, and all you can put is like $200 towards that, and you just think, I'm never going to buy a home. Well, then, yeah, I guess you never will if you never start. So when we're talking about stuff like that, I'm not even mentioning things that come up throughout the year, like DMV renewals, car maintenance, tires being replaced, all of these things that this is what really trips us up throughout the year. We start saving, we get some traction, and then we get an unexpected expense. But here's the thing that we need to remember. None of these are a surprise. Every year, the DMV will send you a bill. Every year. They want their money. They want to make sure that you're registering your vehicle. These things aren't a surprise. What we need to do is we need to look ahead so that we're not caught off guard by these things that can trip up our savings. So those actually are not short-term savings items. They're irregular expenses that can actually be fit into your budget every month. If you know that your car registration is $200 a month, and when the month comes, you don't have an extra $200, that's stressful. Or when you need to replace your tires, you need to replace the roof, you need to do all these things that it's expensive to be an adult. It's like there's always somebody needing something. If you just start by setting the money aside for those things, then it's not a surprise. And then you actually, because what's really discouraging is when you start saving each month and then some of those expenses come and kind of wipe you out. You made some progress for 3 months and then something happened with the house or the car or the kids' school or something and you feel like you take a big step back. If we look at all of our expenses, the ones that we know come every single month, and the ones that if we look at our bank statements from the last year, we see come every single year. Or we just know, like, you don't get tires every year, but that's a few hundred dollars. And when they're getting pretty bald, it's like a little bit too late to then start scrounging up some money if all of your money is already going someplace. So when I'm talking about the need to earn more and spend less, it's so that we can make progress. And I know talking about what we're saving money for, already you can kind of start to feel like, I can't do this. I don't even know. I don't know how to spend any less than I'm already spending. I really am already pretty frugal. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, about some things that you can do, because it's not impossible. None of this is impossible. So I'm just talking about these irregular expenses to say we want to plan for them so that we can save and we're not getting discouraged and we don't quit because they're not a surprise. So that falls into our spending category. We're talking about just all of the money that comes in every month all of a sudden is gone. It's like paycheck to paycheck. We are pretty good if the money's there and we don't give it a name and we don't set it aside. We all have this natural, supernatural ability to just clean it up and make it disappear. It's like if you didn't have something that you needed to spend it on, all of a sudden it's kind of spent and we don't really know what happened to it. And what can get us in a lot of trouble is when we look at our bank account balance and we spend it because it's there. But then all of a sudden, the DMV bill comes in or our insurance premium, and then we start to panic because we spent the money because it was there. So when we spend money just because it's in our account, that is what creates a lot of stress for all of us, right? We felt really good. We had a lot of money, and then the preschool tuition check went through, and all of a sudden, I don't have as much money as I thought that I did. So the thing about spending is when we spend that way, we start to feel really guilty about spending and we get really stressed about spending. And this is where a budget comes in. So we know that we have to have a budget and we don't really stick to the budget and then we feel kind of bad about it and then we don't bother looking at it for 3 months until we have a really stressful month and then we're like, I'm gonna budget again. It's time, I'm ready. We get in this cycle of reacting to the spending that we already did and that makes us feel bad about the spending that we're doing. The reality is you should never feel bad about spending on something that you have the money allocated to spend on. That is why we budget. That is how we're approaching a budget, is to free us up to spend what we have available to spend, to set aside to save the things that we need to save for, both short-term and long-term. But when we choose to take the time to budget, put money where it needs to go so that it's not as easily accessible. And then there's no guilt in spending. We're not reacting to what we spent, but we have a plan and we feel like we can do this. A budget should never be started out of a reaction to a really bad month, because that's going to be your mindset and the way that you approach a budget, and that it's always going to make you feel kind of stressed and kind of guilty. And you should never feel that way. You don't have to feel that way. Unless you have a genuine spending problem that's like you need some accountability and you need some help. I mean, maybe, yeah, then we need to bring some other people in and talk about that. But when it's like month-to-month spending and you're really not going crazy, you're not like shopping out of control, it's just, I'm trying to like feed and clothe my family. And it just feels like all of a sudden the money's gone. We don't need to feel guilty about that. We just need to have a plan. So the problem is life, like I said, can be expensive. And when that's the case, we have to, I like have so many thoughts and I could talk about this all day because I think it's really interesting. But I'm trying to figure out how to say this in the simplest way. There is a fine line in our spending between spending necessity and what is often called lifestyle creep. So why does it feel like you got a raise at school or at, it's not at school, they don't pay you to go there. Why does it feel like you got a raise at work or you paid off your student loans or you paid off that car and you have this money freed up and 6 months later you feel like you don't have enough money again? It's what is called lifestyle creep. We increase our lifestyle. When the money's there, we tend to spend it. So we pick up a subscription or a membership, or we have $700 a month written down on our grocery budget for our family, but we're really spending like $800 because we're just getting more snacks. We're not shopping at maybe more inconvenient but cheaper stores. We're just starting to, you feel it. You kind of get loosened up and you're just not really thinking about it anymore. And you're tossing into your cart things that you don't really need. This is lifestyle creep. And it's so easy when you have the money, we start spending it. So this is where it becomes a problem that we just kind of go, why am I not making any progress? I'm making more money, but I'm not making more progress. So here's another little mindset shift that I want you to think about. If you spend every dollar that you earn took time to earn it, right? If you're getting a paycheck, so when we start loosening up our spending and we're not really being intentional and we're not sticking to a budget, not only do we start to feel stressed and anxious about the money that we're spending, but we have to work that much harder to cover everything because our lifestyle has started to creep. So what we need to do is look at a budget monthly so that we don't stress, we're not in the dark, and we're not surprised by the expenses. We're making sure that we're saving just a little bit, like $20 each month for those irregular expenses that come up. And then we can start to make some progress. The problem is when we spend all the money that came in because it was there. So what we want to do is make sure that we are budgeting, we have a plan, and when more money comes in, don't spend it. So then what do we do with it? We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But that's, so when we're talking about spending, what it helps to just remember, the more that I spend, the harder I have to work. Like I said, I'm home with our kids, so I'm doing some things that are like on my own time as far as work goes. But my husband, his income is what we budget on and what we live on. And about a few years ago, I had the realization I had been working. I had a business and we sold the business and that was like my job. So then I didn't really have this job anymore. And I had the realization how I spend will determine when my husband gets to retire. Like, I just had this realization. If I told my husband, we need this, we have to do this, we have to spend on this, he would trust my judgment. If I wanted to spend more, if I wanted a gym membership, if I wanted to do different things, he would let me. Like, he's not, it's really me that obviously talks about money. I'm more interested in money. And my husband's just really busy at work. This is something that I've taken on. I could pretty much do what I want with our money, and he might not really realize what I'm doing. And it was a really sobering realization. Like, the more money that I spend, the harder my husband's gonna, I'm tacking on years to my husband's work life if I don't at least think about what I'm spending and why I'm spending it. Now, again, you don't need to feel guilty about buying things that you need. And you don't need to feel guilty about buying a shirt, you know, or like whatever, like little things here and there, especially if it's in the budget, there's no guilt about it. That's why we give every dollar a name so that when we spend on things like that, it's not a problem. But when we just start spending because the money's there, and as income increases, that's when we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. We feel like we're making progress because more money's coming in, but then we're spending it. If we can just start to think, the more that I am careless in my spending, the longer I have to work, or the longer my husband has to work, or the longer both of us have to work, because we're just trying to sustain this lifestyle. That is part of why we live in a two-bedroom house. I would like to have a second. I don't care. My kids could share a room forever. I just want another bathroom. Like, we need, I want my own bathroom that no one's going to pee around, and it doesn't smell like pee when I go in there. And when I need to use it, the door is open. I have two boys, and they're pretty young, and that's something that we're working on, is the pee around the toilet. So, too much information, but I would really like that. And if I really wanted to, we could go and buy another house. If I nagged my husband, I could wear him down and we could look at that. Instead, we're making choices with the savings that we have. Instead of a down payment on a house and then that's it, it's gone, we are choosing to stay in this house longer than maybe we want to, because we're thinking long term. Because I know if we buy a bigger house right now, this means years more that my husband has to work, because he's my sugar daddy and I'm not going back to work. I'm already retired. Just kidding. Okay, so the next thing that we're going to talk about is earning. This is the one where we go, nope, can't do it. I mean, I'm in my job and I just don't know how I can make more money. This is where we're starting to think creative, and we're going to have some ideas that hopefully you guys can, I have something that you can take home and look at more, and it can get your gears turning and encourage you. Earning is the other lever that we can pull. If you just tell yourself, I can't move forward, I can't save anymore, and I can't earn more money, then that's it, you're done. Like, you just don't try, and you're not going to make any progress. But if you start to think, okay, I've reduced my expenses, this is how much we earn, this is how much I need to save to be able to retire in X number of years, or to buy a car, or to save up a down payment for a house. You know, whether we're talking long-term savings or for a short amount of time, I need to save more because I have to think about this expense that's coming. Whether it's long-term or short-term, you know, if we've kind of shaved down our expenses and we're intentional with our spending, but we know how much we need to save and we don't see how we can squeeze that much savings out of our income, what we need to do is start increasing our income. So you can either decide, I can't do it and there's no way to do it, or you can think, I've got a goal, now I've got a number. I need to figure out a way to earn this much more money a month, so now I know what I gotta do. And now we have a goal and we're moving forward and we're getting creative to start earning more money. It was surprising, if you're willing to do extra work and you're willing to start thinking that way, how easy it is to actually earn more. I know that's annoying to hear if you feel like you can't, but it is actually true, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So, how do you earn more in your current job? I'm just going to present an idea, and you can do what you want with it. If you are in a job where you feel like you're pretty maxed out, you're not going to get any more pay increases in your current position, if you're in a career-type job, what you can do is you can go to your boss and say, I have been here for X number of years. It's an assumption that you're doing a good job in your job. If you're a good employee that they want to promote or trust with more responsibility, then this is the kind of conversation you can have. If you aren't, it's kind of hard to say, I'm lazy, I come when I want, and I always leave early, and I'm always on my phone, but I want a raise. Like, probably not going to happen. So we need to be our best. We work unto the Lord. We are excellent employees wherever we work, whatever we're doing, right? That we're operating with this assumption. You can say to your boss, I'd like to talk to you. Schedule a time, sit down in their office. Thank you for taking the time to meet with me. I have been at this job for X number of years. I've been trusted with these types of responsibilities, and I would like to know what kinds of responsibilities I need to do to earn X amount a year. And your boss might need to say, I need to think. But the reality is a lot of bosses have dumped on them a lot of stuff that they don't have the time to do. They're overwhelmed and they're stressed. A lot of bosses will say, well, if you took on this, 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 and this, I would be open to giving you a raise. It's surprising what you can get if you just ask. This is you. You are not begging for a raise. You are offering more work. You're offering to take more responsibility, and you are earning a raise. This is not groveling. This is not just needing money. This is you earning income that you don't need to be afraid to ask for. You're earning it. You're taking on more responsibility. So you would say to your boss, okay, if I do this, 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 and this for the next 6 months, in 6 months, could we talk about me getting a pay increase? Would you consider increasing my pay to X amount? And if they said, no, there's really not room in the budget, you can decide what you want to do from there. But they might say, yeah, if you did those things, I'd give you a raise. You say, great. Great talking to you. I'm going to go write this up, a recap of our conversation, so it's all in writing, and I will make an appointment in my calendar for us to talk about this in 6 months. That is the way that you ask for a raise if you're feeling like you need to make more money, you enjoy where you work, but you just need more. If they tell you no, then you know, and you can decide from there what you need to do. Either you work more outside of your work, or let's say you don't really love the place anyway and you want to get a different job. Let this, you're looking at your future and thinking about what you need to save, motivate you to start looking. Look for another job, maybe in the same field, maybe in a different field. Look at what you're making right now and what you need to make, and you can start looking. You might need to get some kind of certification or a license or a little bit more school. So this is where I'm talking about. This is like a long game. We're talking about spending, saving, and earning with the future in mind, not just next month in mind or your next vacation in mind. If we're thinking long term, it's not too difficult for you to spend a year getting a certification. It's going to be extra work, and it's going to be a little bit harder. But if we're thinking long term, in the grand scheme, a year isn't really that long, right? So that could be an opportunity to really push you to start doing a job that you've been wanting to do and just felt like, oh, it's too hard. Well, now you know. I asked at my current employer. They're not able to give me a pay increase, so I'm going to start taking those 5-minute action steps. I'm going to go back to my desk, and I'm going to do my work, and on my lunch, I'm going to Google how to do the job that I want to do. Like, that's your 5-minute step. Is your first step is just, what do I even need to do to be qualified for the job that I want? Then from there, you go to a specific website, you know, to get more information about a program or an employer in our area that does what you want to do. Like, just start these little steps each day. If you just decide that's too long and too hard and you don't start, the year will come and go whether you've done it or not, so you might as well make some progress. The other thing that you can do, let's say that you're like me. I am a mom who has kids. I don't really have the ability to take phone calls. I don't really want to leave my kids. I don't want to spend just as much as I could earn at a job on a babysitter. What's the point, right? Except that it'd be quieter if I worked somewhere else. So what do you do if you're someone who either temporarily, like I said, like if you need a car or you're trying to save for like a down payment or something that's not forever, but you need to do some extra work for a short amount of time. I have a resource here. It's how to make extra money while being home with your kids. It's called a side hustle. You do what's called a side hustle. We do extra work for a set amount of time until you hit that financial goal of saving X amount total. You know, the long-term goals are often, I need to save X amount a month for 20 years. A short-term goal is, I need to save X amount for a car or this item. I know that we need to replace the roof in a year. I don't want to be stressed and put it on a credit card when it comes. I want to be prepared. So when we're looking temporarily, a side hustle is a really great option to just get that savings up in the short term. So this is here for you guys to take it, but I'm just going to read you a few examples. Watch a few other kids along with your own. If you're already home with your kids all day, why not watch some other kids? You're not taking any time away from your kids. You'd have to really be selective about whose kids you're watching, but that's something that you can do, and it's not taking any time away from your family. Dog walking, pet sitting, there are websites that you can sign up to do that. It doesn't have to just be for people that you know that go on vacation. Petsitter.com is a website where you could sign up to just take pets. You don't have a pet, but your kids want a dog. You could be like, well, every once in a while, we'll have a dog for the weekend. I'm ready for them to go, and then they're gone. It's perfect. So there are things like that. You can pet sit, dog walk, do errands for other people. There's a website called TaskRabbit. This is all on the handout. TaskRabbit, with your kids in the car, you can go run these errands for other people and get paid to do it. If you're already out and about anyway, it's really no trouble. Website testing. One that I signed up for is called usertesting.com. You get paid a few bucks a website. There's no right or wrong. They just want to know, I want to see how long it took for you to find this blank. Like, you're on this website and you need to know how to sign up for whatever it is. If it took a long time, that's on them. Then they know, they with their user testing data, you got paid a couple bucks, your kids are doing whatever, you don't have to go anywhere. There's like a lot of creative different things that you can do. Take surveys online, do data entry at night, virtual teaching assistant. That's actually something that a lot of people in the States do for Asia. It's like, I don't know, weird hours, but it could work for your family's schedule. Freelance writing, copy editing and proofreading, which can actually take a certification, which you can get online. So that you are like, I am qualified, I'm ready, I'm able to proofread. Jobs in real estate, there are a lot of different things like mobile notary, different things that would involve some time away from kids. But if your kids are in school, there's some jobs that are in industries like real estate that are pretty flexible that you could actually do on your own time. Sell things that you make. Sell clothes that you don't wear anymore. Poshmark, OfferUp, Craigslist. These are websites where people want to buy what you have. Flip items on Craigslist and OfferUp. I was listening to a real estate podcast, and this guy started his like flipping business, flipping couches on OfferUp. He would pick up a couch, take it home. He had a steam cleaner. He'd clean it, sell it. He would actually look in the free, like up for grabs listing, and if it wasn't all torn up, get it for free, take a couple hours to clean it, sell it for $200. That's pretty easy money. If you have a truck. Now, I mean, that's like something that's a little bit harder, but there are much smaller items that you could flip, you know, and there's niches. There's things that you're interested in that you could find and flip. You could become an Amazon affiliate. That's like if you have stuff that things that you love, you buy all the time on your social media profile, you just put your Amazon link. If you're like, I love this, I just got it, you link in my profile. That's how a lot of influencers and people make money. On social media, you don't have to be an influencer. You just have to share the products that you love, and you make like a dollar just because you made a recommendation. You can offer lessons because there's different things that we all are able to do. If you have an area of expertise, you can even create an online website. And there are tons of websites and places like teach online course platforms where you could put those up. And offer them to people. And you did the work one time, and it's just like producing income for you. There are a lot of things that you can do, and I show you where to look to do that right here. So those are a few ways that we can increase our earning. If we're motivated and then we have a reason to increase our earnings, it makes it a lot easier to start thinking out of the box to do that. So here's the thing, is you're thinking, all right, but what do I do with my savings? Do I just save up and then in 100 years I have enough money to live on for 30 years? Like, that doesn't really work, right? We need to put our money to work in order to have enough money to retire if we're thinking with the future in mind. So here's a concept that I recommend the book, like the book explains it a lot better than I could. But if any of you have ever read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, it's like a classic personal finance book. But in the book, it's a story. It's like he explains all these concepts in the form of a story. So it's really easy to read or listen to. That's how I get through books, is I listen to a lot. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I also have a list of resources here. It's on the book section of the list. I've got podcasts, blogs, books. If you want to learn more and grow in like personal finance, these are some resources. Those are two things that are here for you to take. But in the book, he talks about the difference between an asset and a liability. So here's what I mean, because you're like, assets, liabilities, I'm not like a financial planner or professional. You lost me. We all operate in assets and liabilities every single day, where we just don't realize it. So the problem is when we take our income and we just keep buying liabilities, like, I don't know, consumable items, nice cars, bigger houses. Like your own house is actually kind of like a liability. Some people would consider it an investment. Like it's the best, it's like an investment and they would count it in your net worth. It's costing you money to maintain it. I don't know that I would call it an investment. It's just a cost of living, right? Even once it's paid off, there's still some expenses associated with it. So a liability is something that you own that costs you money and it doesn't add monetary value. It might add satisfaction and joy in your life, and that's not to be discounted. But an asset is something that you own that adds value and produces income. So I can buy myself a bigger house and just pay a bigger mortgage, or I can take the money that I've saved for a down payment for my own house and buy a house that someone else will live in, produces income. They're both real estate, but the result is different. And if I buy enough assets, they buy me the house or the car or whatever it is that I need. So that is the difference. We need to start thinking, how do I get an asset that will pay for my liabilities? It's not that you never are allowed to replace your car or live in a bigger house that's big enough for your family. Those things are not bad. But what our family's trying to do, that's why we're living in a smaller house, is we're trying to find ways, and this is like a mindset shift. We start thinking, what can I do with my money that will make me money? So if you're like, I love scrapbooking or whatever, crafting, and I want this Cricut because Crickets are awesome and they make my scrapbooks look cool. Instead of just buying the Cricut for you to do your hobbies, you think, how can I use this Cricut to make me money? You list on OfferUp, Etsy, Craigslist, a couple of samples of the things that you can make, and you're like, custom banners, or that's what Crickets can do, right? They cut paper. I've seen the results of a Cricut. I do not own a Cricut, but they look really cool. It's like a really neat machine. You think of a way to use this thing that you want to pay for itself. When we start to think creatively about the things that we want, then suddenly we're not just spending, spending, spending with nothing to show for it and nothing but liabilities. We've got to start thinking about our spending in terms of assets and liabilities. So what we want to do is purchase assets that will pay for our liabilities. I feel like, gosh, there's just so much to say and we're running out of time. The goal, I'll just say this, I'll wrap up with this. The goal of all of this saving that you're doing is to get to a place where we're not working, right? So what we need to do is instead of just saving and holding on to the money, we need to figure out how to make our money work for us. So it's not enough to just save the money. And this is where I'm going to leave you, and that's really annoying. But you now have some 5-minute steps. You're going to start Googling, how do I grow my money? What are wise investments? What are conservative investments? What are more risky investments? And then you're going to take some notes. I have a list of some things here for you. What is considered a different, like different types of investments? And I can't tell you what to do. None of this is to be construed as legal advice. That's like a disclaimer you're supposed to give when you're talking about money. I can't tell you the best investment. It's a matter of your comfortability and your resources. Like, what are you working with? Are we working with, like, I've been saving up I have a chunk of money and now I need to figure out what to do with it? Or I'm just starting to save and I'm ready to start putting my little bit of savings every month to work. That's something that I can't tell you what to do, but there are a lot of really great options that are out there. So basically, all I'm going to tell you is you have to start putting the money to work if you want to get to a place where you don't really have to work anymore. It works for you. You're purchasing assets that will pay for your liabilities. When are you able to retire or stop working? You're able to retire when you have enough something, whatever it is, whether it's, for some it's like a pension account or like a pension fund or some kind of like a retirement savings account. Once that is able to produce enough income that you can live on what it's producing, you're able to stop working. So the most common typical thing that we think of is accounts like that, a retirement savings account, an IRA, a Roth IRA, a 401k, a 403b, a pension, a TFP. I think that's if you're in the military. There's like all different names for essentially the same thing. It's invested in the stock market, stocks and bonds, and those are accounts that you can't necessarily access until a certain age without a penalty. But that's usually what we think of. Is I'm just going to work until I'm in my 60s and then it should be producing enough income. There are other types of accounts that don't have the same tax benefits but that are also accessible. There are things like just a general index fund like account, like a just a stock account, a trade account, I'm trying to think, why am I blanking? Basically, you can start investing in those same types of things, stocks and bonds, but just not in a retirement savings account. It's not tax, like there's not the same tax benefit, but you can start investing now. It doesn't have to be a retirement specific account. What that can do is it gives you access to the money before the age of 59 and a half. You can also invest in real estate. That's something else that I mentioned as an asset. I know that that sounds really impossible because we live in Southern California. So what you can Google and what you can start to research, what you can look into is how on earth could I ever invest in real estate if I live in a really expensive market? If you Google that, you'll find something called Bigger Pockets. And like there's podcasts that talk about that. You start to look in other states and you think, I can't do that. I'm here in California. And you actually can. People do it all the time. And your $15,000 that would be like 2% down on a home here is actually a down payment on another house. So I'm talking about something specific, but just to get your gears turning. All of this stuff is figure outable, but you have to figure it out. So here's your homework. I want you from here to go home this weekend. I mean, not right now. Enjoy the rest of the retreat. But I want you to take a little bit of time to just start by thinking, what do you want? What do you even want? When would you like to stop working? When you stop working or your husband stops working, whatever your situation, what would you like life to look like? Do you want to just live the same, like in, you're fine with your house, you're good, you know what your expenses are each month? Or do you want to travel more? Do you want to move to be closer to your kids if they've moved out of state or whatever? Like, it's just dream a little bit. What do you even want? There's no right or wrong. We're not thinking about how to get there. But you just start by thinking about what would that ideal situation look like? And then you need to think, what would that cost each month? So then you kind of, that's where we kind of go, this seems too hard, and we stop. But this isn't the place to stop. We're just getting started. This is great. Now our dream isn't a dream. It's a reality with a number that we can start to work with, right? Now I know I need $5,000 a month to live in retirement. Like here, that's like nothing, right? I mean, we just live in such an expensive place. So we say, I need $5,000 a month. I need $60,000 a year to live on. So I need to figure out a way to produce $60,000 a year in retirement so that I can stop working because I don't want to work forever. So there are a number of ways that you can do that, like stocks, bonds, If you already have some kind of a retirement account, especially with your employer, you can look at the balance in there and you can start to run some numbers in different retirement calculators and investment calculators. There's like this big study and they basically said that a safe withdrawal rate out of like a stock-based investment account would be 4%. You could withdraw 4% from an account that you could live on, in theory, forever. Like, it wouldn't run out of money. So $60,000 is 4% of $1.5 million. So that sounds really scary and intimidating. Like, just if you're looking at a retirement account, you would need your balance to get to $1.5 million to be able to retire. So you're thinking, I can't save $1.5 million. That's why we're starting to look at retirement calculators and we're running some numbers, because it's not just a matter of you saving the money, it's also growing over time. Look at the historical averages of what the stock market has earned and how it's grown. We educate ourselves about something that's really scary so that it doesn't have to be scary anymore. What I'm talking about is probably like an hour of research to really figure out if your main vehicle is like a retirement account. An hour of research would help you start to get a good handle on what that needs to look like. And the problem is there's so many things to say. There's so much I could go on and on about that we couldn't possibly cover in a breakout session. And so what I want to leave you with is just some ideas of what you need to look at and what you need to start thinking about next to get you where you want to go. It's not impossible. It's not out of reach. The sooner you start, I guess, the better, because then you give your money time. So if you're in your 40s or your 50s and you're thinking I'm screwed, you're not. Start right now, because the earlier you start, the better. And you can't start any earlier than today. We're not going to worry about shoulda, woulda, coulda. We're moving forward from today. So I'll just wrap up with saying this. If you're like, I still just don't really know where to look, I don't know what to do, I have a website with some online courses that you're welcome to look at. There's one that's just like really basic, starting at like looking at like how to create a budget that you can stick to. Why is my budget not working? Looking at identifying all those irregular expenses. So that's one. The second is starting to look like at a 5-year horizon. And the third course that's on the site is looking at long term, so that we're thinking more about retirement. And I unpack, there's so many different ways to invest. Like, this is us, this little tiny list is us just scratching the surface. Like, I wish we could talk all day, but we just can't. So you are welcome to go to my website. I think that it's on this. I actually am realizing that it's not. So can I give it to you and you'll write it down if you're interested? It's www.morethanmoneycoaching.com. So you'll see at the top of your handout, it says More Than Money. That's just my personal financial coaching business. It's morethanmoneycoaching.com. So there you could find a lot more that, like I said, if I could, I'd just talk all day about it, but we just can't. I think it's lunch time. So with that, if you have any questions, I can sit and chat with you, but we already went over because this is just way too big a topic for 45 minutes. So let me pray. Thank you for staying, and then God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace that you guide us and direct us. Lord, we're not lost. We're not wandering. We're not alone in this financial journey. Lord, you can direct our steps. You can show us what to do, and we can figure it out with your help. Be with these women. Bless the rest of their time here at this retreat. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for meeting us here. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, so like I said, I have a resource list and then that list of side hustle ideas for how to earn more money. Yeah, make that money.